Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action Podcast, episode 8. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me on Twitter at Wegspool.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
You can follow us on Twitter at Side Action Pod. So, Steve, how was the weekend, man?
Weekend was great. I pushed around a little bit of money in college football on Saturday, but then I absolutely killed it on Sunday and had a huge day. It was awesome.
You are the man in NFL. I tell you, I cannot figure out the NFL. College, I'm doing really, really well. I was like 2-0-1. Pros 0-2. You were killing it in our pick'em pool. What's the secret?
Well, I just sit around on Sunday mornings and just look for the reverse line movement out the window. I mean, not out the window, but I look for it and I follow it.
I tell you, well, it's impressive. It's impressive. So, well, let's you want me to talk about the dating blog. I see that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, just a quick plug for myself. As some of you know, I do blog at wegspool.com. After a few months of dating, my buddies kept on giving me a hard time and said, you got to share some of these stories. And as you may know, I posted the first time 2 weeks ago, Action. And let's just say my biggest blog on the sports side was probably about 17 reads over the six-month period. Uh-huh. As soon as I put up Swim Big or Go Home, I got 140 reads from that blog post. So I guess the market isn't for sports.
Yeah, we do call this side action for a reason.
Yeah, I get a little side action once in a while, but yeah, few and far between. But anyway, I'm doing that every Friday on my blog. If you're interested, you check it out at wegspool.com. There will be another one. I've already drafted the third one. But you got to check out Dad Jeans from last week, and you'll have to see what that is.
It is highly entertaining, though, in all seriousness.
Great. All right, today we'll go over some of our storylines from last week. Of course, our recap of our flag football game, which is important. We'll recap our head-to-head, which, congratulations, Action, a little preview. He did very well. We'll look at the takeaways from the NFL from last week. We do have a question from the mailbag, as well as college football recap and look ahead. And then we'll look into our NFL spot, look at some DVOA and yards per play, as well as some key injuries this week. Finally, we will look at our head-to-head segment for both college and pro. And it looks like you got a little bit of the NBA futures on there and maybe a little bit about baseball as well.
We'll touch on the baseball playoffs and the NBA futures with the season starting next week also.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, first, let me start off with the big fight. I don't know if you got to see it. I didn't. I was checking it out on Twitter and saw all the highlights. It was insane. Khabib took out McGregor, but it looked like it was a melee after that.
Yeah, it was wild. I was also following on Twitter on one of those live streams from Twitch or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was cutting in and out, but I got to see a bulk of the action inside the ring, and Khabib really was dominating McGregor in every round. He had him on the mat grappling just like we suspected he would.
Yeah, he was definitely the odds-on favorite for good reason. So hopefully those McGregor fans will be smarter next time with their bets. But what ensued after that was insanity. I mean, just kind of and he doesn't care.
No.
I think this guy's a complete, utter fighter in and out of the ring, obviously. Jumped over the cage, and it was kind of wild.
The word that comes to mind is savage. That's what it was. I've never seen anything like that before in the world of professional sports. And I find it remarkable that no one's come out from UFC and suspended him or stripped him of his title. I thought that would be swift action, and I haven't seen a word about it this week.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, they got a lot more eyeballs on UFC, even outside of the fighting community. So they want all that publicity, and it worked. And, you know, they're definitely going to have a rematch at some point, probably. And now they're going to get it with a little more storyline.
Yeah, I've already seen some look-ahead lines posted, and Khabib is going to be a much heavier favorite this time, somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 or 400.
Oh, wow. It's big. Well, let's move more importantly to the big flag football game on Saturday, which we did not jump over the cage on this one, but we had a huge game with Shark Attack. This is one of our epic rivals through the years. We don't beat them all too often. We had this great game. Backup quarterback, not being Action this time. The Schwa got in there, and he was money, man. He was delivering. We We had a chance to win. We should have won the game. We were up by one with the last minute to go. And, man, that dude, he's like a beast. He's like Megatron in our league. He caught that touchdown pass in double coverage with, like, you know, what was it, 15 seconds to go to take the lead and crush the hearts of Shocker fans across America.
I think there was four scores in the last 2 minutes, but we had a drive at the end to try and win the game and ended up losing 33-28.
Yeah, it was such a great game, though. It was fun to compete like that. I mean, both teams were just kind of, you know, high-fiving afterward because, you know, there's no cameras there, obviously, but we all got out there and played a great game and, you know, got a little bit at the bar after that.
Thankfully, I was able to grab the key number of plus six and covered and won the spread.
Good job. We had to do that. We did cover for you. So, all righty. Well, let's jump into the head-to-head segment. I finally took a loss, man. Congratulations, Action. You beat the streak.
Yeah, we did have one draw this week, or tie, I suppose, as we call it here in the U.S., but I did take the crown this week 2-1-1, and you still hold a lead of 18-9-1. So I'm still about 9 games back, but plenty of season left here for me to catch up.
Oh, yeah. I'm confident you will come back with my inability to pick NFL picks. So let's review. Notre Dame was, you know, they were 6-point favorites at Virginia Tech. Total's 56. And let's face it, this team is different with Book in there. We talked about it last week. 45-23. It was close for a while. And then Book and the gang just started chucking it, and they just crushed them.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I didn't see much of this game on Saturday night, but reading the recaps, it sounds like Book was impressive yet again.
Yeah, and you can see the, you know, the total, that's 68 points. I mean, they just hammered it. So as you mentioned last week, the bookmakers, not Book, but the bookmakers haven't caught up to this Notre Dame offense yet. We'll see if there's an adjustment this week. Okay, so then the second game was Kentucky at Texas A&M. A&M were 6-point favorites. You know, I was talking about Kentucky being one of my darlings lately. They played a great game. It was a hard-fought game that went to overtime. And actually, thankfully for me on both my betting and this head-to-head, they actually pushed because A&M scored the touchdown and didn't have to kick the extra point in overtime.
I'll take a push on this one, and we'll move on to the next game.
Yeah, 2014. So let's move to the NFL. Wow. Let's start with the first one. Vikings at Eagles. The Eagles, you know, they were defending champions and all. They didn't look like it in the first half. The Vikings were running all over and passing up and down the field. Luckily, they came back. They were 3-point favorites, and it didn't look like they should have been the favorites that day.
Yeah, I was reading that Coach Zimmer had a little discussion with the defensive locker room in the week off, and they came out and showed their muster on Sunday. The Eagles really couldn't get much anything going on offense. And come to find out, they've lost another running back now, Jay Ajayi, and the Eagles are really trending downwards.
Yeah, one of the things I was noting from the Eagles, the difference between last year and this year, they just were running the ball way more effectively last year. Now, Peters is back, Jason Peters on the offensive line, but maybe they should go to the young guy, Vitae. And the line is definitely aging. They're not committing to the run and also not getting the results. So we'll see. It's a lot of season left, but the Vikings needed this win, and they got it. So they're still in the mix for the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a big victory for Minnesota and their playoff chances, no doubt about that.
The last game, which was really the first game I started watching on Sunday and knew very early on that I was going to lose this bet, Kansas City was 3-point favorites against Jacksonville in Arrowhead. And boy, Mahomes and the gang just were running all over the Jags. It was, they couldn't stop that offense either, even though they picked off Mahomes twice. They were just generating so much offense against the Jags D.
Yeah, Blake Bortles also returned to his true form on Sunday. Four interceptions. One of them was a horrific pick six that gifted Kansas City 6 points. And ultimately, Kansas City's defense was quite impressive on Sunday. I thought that Bortles and the Jags would throw all over them, but they stood up in a big way and really carried that team to victory. It was probably a lot closer than that 30-14 score indicated, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Jags were kind of dumb in the first half, I think it was. They went for, they had 3rd and 1 inside the 10, and they passed twice and didn't score any points. And then Bortles had the pick and the pick sixes. So it was a little closer, but it does show you that big game Blake Bortles, it wasn't there, and that's going to be a big difference come playoff time. All right, let's move into the NFL in general. You've got a note here that all four rookie quarterbacks won this weekend, which is true. So that was the first time, and God knows how long that's been.
Yeah, it was impressive. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns looked good. Most of that was a defensive effort, although he did pass for over 300 yards in the win, 12-9. Sam Darnold and the Jets looked awesome against the Broncos. They won 34-16. And even Josh Rosen and the Arizona Cardinals got off the schneid with their first victory of the season.
They did. As you noted, also Josh Allen threw for 82 yards. Somehow they still won the game. Tennessee couldn't get any offense in that game. But I think what you see in almost all these games is that, you know, the young quarterbacks are their game. They're ready for the NFL a little bit more quicker than some in the past. And Darnold, he obviously got the help. I think it was over 300 yards rushing in that game from his team. They went for over 500 yards on the Broncos in that game.
Yeah, Isaiah Crowell broke a couple of big runs in that one too.
Yeah, so we'll see how some of these teams fare against their opponents this week, but it's nice to see them get some wins. Miami was actually a sharps darling. Everybody was on Miami against Cincinnati. They were up 17-0 in this game and then blew it. Bengals had 27 unanswered points, including a pick six. It was just a complete reversal of fortune for Miami.
Two pick sixes.
Oh, two.
This was one of my bad beats of the weekend. I was at halftime looking like this was a ticket cashed, and then the Dolphins inexplicably just gave away that lead play after play. I think that the Laramie Tunsil injury in the second half had a big effect on that. Once he went down, their offense looked very different. And that'll be something to look forward to going into this week without Tunsil, how they fare, or if Tunsil does come back.
Yeah, they're playing the Mighty Bears this week, so we'll see how that turns out. And then, of course, on Monday Night Football, just last night, Drew Brees, you know, he looked amazing. He broke the NFL passing record, 72,000 yards. That is insane. He was just pinpoint, putting the ball over the place, almost got up to 500 touchdowns as well. He's at 499. They crushed the Redskins 43-19, and the game, it was over almost right away.
Yeah, I was on the Redskins last night, I will admit, plus seven, but I failed to factor in the Drew Brees emotion record game.
Sure.
And clearly that was a huge factor last night. The Saints were just looking like they were on another level compared to the Redskins last night.
Yeah, their defense played a lot better as well. You know, throughout the first quarter of the season, they've looked pretty bad. And I think that was a big difference. They are different at home. They rush the passer. Alex Smith was, he was lost out there. He doesn't usually turn the ball over, and he did last night.
Yeah, another thing that I thought was interesting last night as a Drew Brees fantasy owner is this whole Taysom Hill experiment.
Oh, boy.
Starting to piss me off. They're getting down into the red zone, and they're letting him run the offense, the Wildcat offense, with Taysom Hill taking snaps, throwing, and running for touchdowns. It decreases the value of both running backs, too. And I understand it's probably good for the football team, not good for my fantasy team.
That's right. No doubt. That guy is he's a man. I think he's the fastest dude on the team. I don't know if they've said that. He's a super athlete. They showed some highlights last night from his college days. That dude was hurdling guys left and right. All right. Next note, back to the KC thing. I mean, all I can say is Kansas City, now they're going to New England. We'll see. There's another test. But I guess in this NFL, offense beats defense.
Yeah, Kansas City came out and beat the second-best defense in the league on Sunday, being the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, a couple things that you've noted here that are important. There were kind of two make-or-break games. The Vikings did beat the Eagles, as we noted before. The Vikings needed that win, otherwise they probably were out of the playoff mix. The Steelers were facing another team that needed to win, and that's the Falcons. And the Steelers actually outclassed the Falcons quite a bit. They look like they returned to running the football. The Falcons are just so beat up on their defense, and they looked bad.
Yeah, they actually performed pretty well in the first half and kept the Steelers at bay a little bit. But after the halftime whistle, the Steelers were just pumping in touchdowns, and the game went way over the total, too. And the Steelers were looking good on Sunday.
Absolutely. You've also got here the Giants. Yeah, the Giants actually look good. They started throwing the ball. I mean, the Panthers were up big early, and then all of a sudden, well, obviously, I don't know if you saw the OBJ touchdown pass. That was beautiful to Saquon Barkley. But I think the key is Shurmur starting to get the ball to their playmakers.
Yep.
They threw the ball to Odell's double-digit targets. He 100 yards and a touchdown. He threw in a touchdown. Barkley had two touchdowns receiving. Finally get your playmakers and you can score some points. What do you know?
Yeah, a couple of things I noted in this game. Number one, OBJ getting more heavily involved in the offense. I think they may have found their quarterback of the future. just kidding. That's right. And obviously, like you mentioned, getting the ball to Barkley really is a and space is a really a game changer for them. But the other thing I pointed out watching the game was the Carolina Panthers really seemingly took their foot off the gas in that second half.
They did.
They had that game locked up, and they let the Giants back into it, and they almost lost because of it. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they have Graham Gano back there who blasted that 63-yard game winner. And did you see that? It would have been good from 70 or 75.
He hammered that thing. They were talking about in warm-ups. He was hitting 65-yarders and – yeah, he did. It looked, it hit the net. Yeah, it went through all the way. Definitely. What I will say is, you know, Carolina, I guess, is getting Thomas Davis back this week. Maybe that defense will close out a little bit better this week. And then the final note here is Deshaun Watson. He did get beat up pretty good. He's actually, is he listed as questionable this week, I think, for the game?
Yeah, just came out today on the injury report.
Yeah, Dallas was beating him up pretty good, and they could not get the ball in the end zone. Dallas's defense isn't too bad, but I don't know. I mean, Hopkins had 150 yards receiving, and they only had the, I think, the one touchdown in the game, right?
Yep.
So it was just a field goal fest again. And I don't know. If he's not in there, I don't even know who the backup is right now over there.
Ooh, that's a good question. T.J. Yates, perhaps?
Maybe T.J. Yates. So obviously check that out. Check the line. There's a lot of line movement because of that. Hopefully by Sunday we'll know if Watson's going to be in there.
Yeah, my two takeaways from this, obviously you mentioned the red zone struggles for the Texans. That's something to keep an eye on. Just very uninventive plays in the red zone. I couldn't understand why they kept Watson in the shotgun in a lot of those plays. Mm-hmm. If they put him under center, they could sneak it, much like the Rams did earlier in the day to seal the victory. And Watson was taking hits that were completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Poor kid plays like that all season. He's definitely not going to survive.
Yeah, they're running the ball too much with him. Now, granted, Lamar Miller was hurt in the game, I understand. And I think Will Fuller is not 100% either. He only was targeted twice in the game. Kiki Kuti is the guy they're looking at. It might affect their offense, but you can't put – this guy's a franchise quarterback. Don't put him in harm's way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other takeaway I wanted to mention was that Dallas defensive front. They looked awfully impressive against the Texans on Sunday night. A lot of young players who are stepping up. Jalen Ramsey finally looks like he's back to true form.
Jalen Smith, yeah.
Sorry, Jalen Smith.
Yep. Yeah, they've got a lot of good pass rushers. It's just if they can keep the game in their favor, they're much better. Their back end's not fantastic. So if they're running downhill and the other team's trying to catch up and they're not right behind the eight ball, then they're looking good. If they're not good against teams, they're going to run it down their throat. Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at the mailbag. We got two questions this week. The first question, do you ever bet a game right away when the line comes out knowing it will move in a certain direction to open up a middle opportunity? What do you say, Action?
Yeah, of course. That's one of the things that I look for most every Sunday when these lines come out. I do some homework on Sunday morning and from 12 to 2, especially in college football, and put my notes together and where I think lines are going to open up. And if I see an opportunity, knowing from public sentiment or otherwise that a line's going to go the opposite direction, I'll just put in a small bet there right away, knowing opportunity later in the week for me to come back on the other side if I choose to change it up.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before the pod. We were talking about the Chargers-Browns game and how right now the Chargers are favored, but we think it's going to move the other way. I mean, there's a perfect opportunity, and I know the guys on VSiN are talking about it too all the time. They're talking about where do they think the line's going to be, and they kind of guess, and it's a good opportunity.
Yeah, obviously the NFL gives you a little bit more opportunity for middles just because the games are always a lot closer compared to college football. But every now and then, if you think that number is going to cross the key number, whether it's 7, 6, or 3, then there is a good opportunity where you can take both sides of a game and open it up for that key number to fall.
That's great. All right, the other question, this comes from our buddy Milos here. It appears the NBA is again making freedom of movement a point of emphasis by the referees. Rockets game last week had like 60 fouls. How do you see that impacting totals this season? Quicker to the bonus, more free throws, points with the clock stopped, etc.
Yeah, this has been something that has been discussed the last few seasons in NBA and college basketball, and I have been keeping an eye on the totals myself. And to be honest with you, I think the story pans out every year much the same. It's an emphasis for a couple of games or a couple of weeks, and then the referees just revert back to their old normal habits of calling the games.
Right.
So to be quite honest with you, I don't see it impacting the totals too much. The odds makers may shade them a little bit high early in the season,
okay,
but but eventually I think it's just going to level out much like it does every year.
I think the other thing with this is that certain players get the calls. I mean, we know that the NBA is a stars league.
Mm-hmm. James Harden.
James Harden. There it is. Rockets, 60 fouls. He lives at the free throw line. They might as well put a chair there, give him a towel. You know, he's like ready there all day. And LeBron James, there's lots of guys that get those calls. I think Donovan Mitchell gets a lot now for Utah. So, yeah, you got to watch which game you're talking about. It's not all games that they're calling like that as well. All right, well, let's move on to the college football recap and look ahead. Great game at the Red River Shootout between Oklahoma and Texas. We were talking about this a lot last week. Texas came to play, and they made it happen. They got the big win. It was actually, they were up big in the game, but they blew the lead. Oklahoma roared back, and then they made it a game, and then, you know, there's a big field goal at the end of the game. You have Texas did outgain them by 2.5 yards on a per-play basis. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
But as you say, that there's a turnover differential of +3, which obviously, you know, that always helps too.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Herman has been great as an underdog, and he pulls out another outright win as an underdog with Dicker the Kicker hitting the game-winning field goal. Gus nice. Johnson with a great call there at the end.
What a great name. But, yeah, we talked about this last week. That rivalry has always been within like 5-6 points, so it was a big line for Oklahoma to even cover if they were going to win. The next big game, we got Clemson. You know, we talked about how they had problems. Trevor Lawrence was a little bit dinged up and what was going to happen. Well, they destroyed Wake Forest 63-3.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence was playing, but I noted in the box score that he didn't really have to do too much as the Tigers racked up nearly 500 rushing yards against Wake.
Wow, that's a lot of yards. And then you called it, man, the Utah State against BYU. This was a in-state rival, the lesser-known Utah State. Just destroyed BYU.
Utah State came out on Friday night and never looked back. BYU came off a couple of tough games, obviously Wisconsin and Washington a few weeks before, and the Aggies really put it to them, and the outcome was never in doubt.
Exactly.
Up next, that Utah State team gets the mess that is the UNLV Running Rebels.
Still a football team there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
That goes out to my sister. She teaches there. Okay, and then we've got Hawaii quarterback Cole McDonald does not play against Wyoming due to an unspecified injury. And then, you know, what ends up happening is that total was really low. We talked about that a little bit. They did end up winning the game, but it was, I think it was, what, 17-13 or something, final score. It was really low. So the status for this next game against BYU, BYU is favored by 13?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, there was a crazy line move on Saturday as well when Cole McDonald was announced out, and I think Hawaii actually closed as an underdog in that game.
Oh, wow.
And I know a lot of people were fading Hawaii knowing that McDonald was out, but they still ended up covering and burned a lot of backers moving on that injury news.
Wyoming, you know, they can't score. They have good defense. They can't score. So, and then you also list as A.J. Dillon, the running back for Boston College, did not play this week, and we're not sure if he's going to play against Louisville, but Boston College is favored in the game -13.5, so you got to check that out.
Yeah, that's something definitely we'll be monitoring before I make a play on that game.
All right. For me, the big game this weekend was the Gators. You know, they took down LSU in the swamp, LSU being ranked 5th in the country at the time. It was a great game, actually, one of the better games of the college season so far. And it basically, your guy Burrow's the pick 6 late. They looked like they were going to maybe come back. And then Gators took it to the house and sealed the game inside of 2 minutes. I did win a bet on that one.
Yeah, me too.
good. Way to bet that one.
And hopefully our listeners did too.
Yeah, we were talking about it all week. So, okay, well, let's look at some of the S&P moves. We had Utah State shot up 15 points. Our spots, as we talked about, they're a really good football team. Houston is up 12 spots as well, 41-29. Mm-hmm. South Carolina drops 17 spots from 29-46, but they beat Mizzou. How does that work?
Well, it just comes down to the 5 factors, according to Bill Connolly.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes, you know, Missouri obviously is one of those teams that can score on you, so maybe it was a kind of a shootout game and your defensive efficiency drops, so you just got to keep watching it. North Texas drops 18 spots from 32-50. That's not good. Those are one of our darlings early in the year. I have that UCF, another one of my darlings. I have a lot of darlings in college, apparently. They're up to 9 in the S&P Plus, so this team is legit. We will talk about that game a little bit later because they have a big game against Memphis. Mm-hmm. So what spots are you eyeing this week, Action, for week 7?
Well, we have on here Georgia and LSU, but I think we'll maybe gloss over that one as we'll be picking it later in the podcast.
Okay.
The next one that I wanted to point out was Missouri and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, again, with another huge number, 28.5 points. And as you noted, they haven't covered 3 straight weeks.
That's right.
However, that first half angle is something that odds makers have been shading a little bit, and they do cover pretty normally in the first half. So that's something that I'll be looking out for.
Yeah, we've talked about that. They take their foot off the gas pedal in the second half. I heard a stat on VSiN on the way over here where in their last 20 games, Saban's Bama teams have only covered 9 times.
Nine times.
It's usually because they're in a position to win, and the number's so high, it's hard to reach that. Missouri can put up a lot of points, too. They'll get garbage time.
Yeah, they certainly let the Arkansas team in the back door on Saturday last week.
So the next game we're talking about is Wisconsin going to Michigan. They're basically Michigan's favored by 7.5 in the Big House. You know, this is really a competitive game. I know that Wisconsin had that kind of letdown against BYU, but I don't know. I mean, I don't trust Michigan to score enough points against the Badgers. We both actually like the Badgers in this game.
Yeah, definitely. This is a number that I jumped on Sunday afternoon when it came out. I think that Wisconsin's going to keep this close and cover the number.
Yeah, and it's kind of a defensive battle, so it's not like it's going to be a big gap between these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
All right, another big game that we both like. Texas Tech is traveling to Fort Worth to face TCU. TCU are 7-point favorites. This is a Thursday night special. What say you on this one, Action?
Well, I know that freshman quarterback for the Red Raiders, Alan Bowman, is going to be out again this week with a collapsed lung.
Ooh,
ouch.
That's not good.
But was watching last week, and the backup sophomore, Jet Duffy, came in and looked rather impressive against West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more of a dual threat option, and I like this kid, and I think that the Red Raiders are going to be able to run and score with this TCU team and keep it within the number. They actually, according to S&P, should be a 1.5-point favorite on a neutral field. So looking at this number upwards of a touchdown plus 7 right now, I'm going to be on the Red Raiders.
I couldn't agree more. The Red Raiders are a better team in the S&P plus. We've seen that they almost came back in the West Virginia game. We know that that was a tough spot for them to lose, but this is a good football team. And TCU is good too. They're at home, but that's a big number to cover against a good football team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You also have noted Akron travels to Buffalo. Buffalo is an 11-point favorite. Buffalo, they're 5-1 with wins over Eastern Michigan, Temple, and Central Michigan. So you're saying those teams aren't good?
Well, no, those teams are actually 3 of the better wins that they have.
Okay.
They do own a large yards per play advantage over the Zips, their differential being 1.1 positive to a negative 0.9 yards per play for Akron. And although Akron has that big win at Northwestern on their resume, the S&P Plus still does not like them too much. It has this one as a 16-point differential on a neutral field, and at Buffalo minus 10 or minus 11 where it sits now, I think there's some value there.
Okay, good to know. Buffalo's a pretty good football team. Okay, Utah State is taking on your running Rebs that you just barraged. They're 24.5-point favorites, and so it's the second game without starting quarterback Armani Rogers. What are you looking at here?
Well, I don't know if you saw the final score last week. UNLV got obliterated by a horrible New Mexico team, 50-14.
Wow.
Their starting quarterback, Armani Rogers, was ruled out of the game with an undisclosed injury, and it appears that he's going to be out again this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this play is just simply fading a horrible UNLV team. This line opened at 17.5 and has been bet up by a touchdown as of right now. And I'm still going to be taking Utah State minus 24.5.
Wow. They're one of your darlings now.
Mm-hmm.
The Aggies. Utah State Aggies.
And really, they might have an outside shot at the New Year's Six bowl games. If somehow UCF slips up, this team, among one or two others, will be right there and with the inside chance of getting in there.
I like to see those outside teams, especially those good ones that can play. I want to see them play those power conferences and beat them on New Year's Day. All right, Friday night special. San Diego State, they're going to host Air Force. This is all my alma mater rival teams in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
They're favored by 10. So what are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, this is another S&P Plus evaluation, mm-hmm. and this one should really be a 14-point spread.
Yep.
Air Force's defense is horrible. They're ranked 112th in the S&P Plus,
wow.
where San Diego State is up in 13th.
Okay.
And the yards per play differential, every single statistical measure has this one chalked up as a huge San Diego State win.
So you don't think it's a letdown spot because they did beat Boise last week?
I mean, it definitely is a letdown spot, but I think that the differences in their defense is really going to shine. I don't see how Air Force is going to score in this game.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind that. San Diego State's a legit team. Air Force, I mean, I've seen them for years. They run that option. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not. They always have little guys because, you know, they can't fit in those planes if they're too tall. So, you know, but yeah, I'll go with you on that spot. All right, another game is you know, Central Florida, one of my darlings. They're 4.5-point favorites on the road at Memphis in the AAC showdown. And this is a big game. I mean, this is going to – basically, they beat them twice last year. You know, they're laying these points. I still like them. What do you think, Action?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you on this one. UCF is just the class of this conference. And even though Memphis has been pretty good, I think you and I were both on them earlier this year. And this one is on the road. I think that UCF easily wins this game by 5.
Yeah, if this number keeps going up, then maybe it's a problem. But I mean, I like where it's at. I mean, inside a touchdown is perfect.
Yeah, I only see this line moving in one direction, which is a good reason to jump on UCF now. And then mm-hmm. if it does reach that touchdown point or even 6, you could come back and try to middle it.
That sounds great. All right. And then the last game we're highlighting is Oregon is hosting Washington. Washington's coming into town. They're 3.5-point favorites. We'll talk about this one as well in the head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's look ahead to week 6 in the NFL. You've gone through the net per play for the teams again. You've got the Rams at number 1, 1.4. That's net yards per play.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Jacksonville still up there at 1.1 despite the loss. Baltimore at 0.6. Green Bay at 0.6. That's interesting. And Houston at 0.5. I guess it's not surprising since Aaron Rodgers threw for, what, 440 yards last week or something?
Yeah.
But still, I mean, they haven't played that great, so it's a net yards per play. I guess their defense isn't that bad.
Yeah, their defense is actually in the top 6 of the NFL's yards per play metric on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And in reality, although they got beat pretty handily by Detroit, when you look at the box score, it wasn't that bad of an ass-whipping.
So I guess they just scored early and then they held on. That's Aaron Rodgers decided to play in the second half.
Wow, it didn't help that Mason Crosby missed 5 kicks, too.
Oh, God, he's so bad. All right, and then in the bottom 5 net yards per play, you've got Buffalo. This is the usual suspects, minus 1.6, Arizona minus 1.1, but Carolina minus 0.9. Mm-hmm. It's a little interesting. Oakland minus 0.7 and Indianapolis minus 0.6. So Carolina, that's interesting. That may be kind of a pretender situation then.
Yeah, I think so. Even with that good rushing game, they're still near the bottom of the league in net yards per play.
It's interesting.
And I really don't see Buffalo ever getting off the bottom of this. When your quarterback throws for 80 yards in a game, there's not very many opportunities for you to increase that differential.
That's insane. But Arizona looked a little bit better. Now, granted, they're playing San Francisco. We'll see mm-hmm. if this week is a lot different opponent. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Beathard turnovers certainly helped them win that game as opposed to actually making up the yard differential.
Yeah, they go to Minnesota this week, so. All right, well, I'm just going to touch briefly on this index I'm trying to put together. As I've noted before, I am doing terribly in the NFL against the spread. I got to come up with something. I'm grasping at straws. So I put together a playoff index the last couple of years based on the teams that make it and kind of analyze a few categories, yards for per game, points per game, yards against, and then points against, point differential, and then turnover margin, and kind of do a stack rank of all the teams. I did it for all 32 this time. I'm trying to see if I can find some inefficiencies between the spreads and what I see in terms of what I consider the best teams based on the index.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know how it goes over the next couple of weeks.
So it's kind of like your own individual power rankings.
It is. It's my own power rankings. And as I look at the top 5 from the list, it's kind of interesting. The LA Rams are number 1. Mm-hmm. You got the Bears at number 2.
Interesting.
Very interesting. We'll see how long that lasts. And then we've got Baltimore's up there, which is a little bit weird. And then Kansas City, of course. So, you know, it does reflect some of the teams, and actually it does kind of maybe overweight defense a little bit from when you look at it, because you look at Baltimore, their offense isn't great. Kansas City, you know, that turnover differential is important. They're plus five, and that obviously had plus, you know, a bunch against Bortles last week. But, but we'll see how it turns out. I'll let you know if my betting gets a little bit better, and then you'll see it, of course, in our pool with Mahar and the gang.
Yeah, that, I'd be looking forward to it. As we talked about in weeks past, your own individual power rankings can be a very useful tool as you move forward in making these wagers, whatever sport is your fancy.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of key injuries this week in the NFL action. You know, Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp left the game with concussions this week. I guess they're not showing symptoms. Maybe they'll come back. You'll have to check the reports. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Jay Ajayi ACL tear. I tell you, that team is it can't keep people healthy back there because Sproles is hurt and Clement's hurt. Clement may play. He's been practicing, but Wendell Smallwood, I guess, will step in for him.
Yeah, the Eagles play on a short week this week, Thursday night, traveling to face the Giants. So that makes it all the more important for those guys to get back healthy.
We'll talk about that in the head-to-head as well.
Yep.
Matt Breida from the 49ers running back is also hurt, so look for Alfred Morris to come in. You mentioned the Laremy Tunsil injury, which will hurt, you know, the offensive line against the Bears. And they already had Josh Sitton and Daniel Kilgore out. So it could be a rough one.
Yeah, talk about cluster injuries. Down three starting offensive linemen is going to make a huge difference for that Dolphins team. And you've already seen it with their metrics decreasing here the past couple weeks.
Absolutely. And then also other injuries continue. Fournette's going to be out for a while. He didn't play. He's going to be out. And there's other guys you just got to watch the reports, like we talked about with Watson. So.
Yeah, Corey Grant, the Jacksonville Jaguars running back, is out for the year. And I saw this afternoon that they just signed Jamal Charles to fill his spot.
They did. They did. They also, I think Austin Seferian Jenkins for them is also out in the IR. So they're hitting their own stretch of injuries. So you just got to keep your eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that's good with fantasy. You always keep up with those injuries. Okay, so let's eye those situational spots for the NFL this week. The first one you've noted is the Rams are traveling to Dallas. I wanted to say before we get into individual games, there's a lot of road favorites this week. That's pretty atypical for the NFL.
Yeah, lots of short spreads, too, I notice. You'll see everything between 2, 3, 1, and pick 'em. So it's going to be a very difficult week.
Yeah, it's a tough week. So the first one is the LA Rams. They're laying 7 at Denver. Denver looked atrocious against the Jets, but of course they're coming home. The total is 52.5. The defense, you're right, Denver's defense is pretty bad, and they looked bad last week, but I don't, what are you looking in this game?
Well, I like the Rams. I jumped on them early on Sunday, and I'm going to lay that touchdown -7, although the juice does look like it's trending more towards the Denver side, which would indicate that it might come back to 6.5.
Right.
Certainly recommend taking that if it pops. But, I mean, the thing I'm pointing to here is the Denver's lackluster defense. They're allowing 6.2 yards per play and over 5 yards per rush attempt. Todd Gurley is one of the greatest running backs in the league, and I think he's going to be running all over Denver on Sunday. Even without some of their key wide receivers, this offense is still potent, and I'll be eyeing that total, too, maybe going over that 52.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams have delivered over on the over pretty much every week for the total, but we'll see. I mean, Denver, one of the things that I noted when I was looking at my index is they actually move the ball a lot, but they're near the bottom in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not putting the ball in the end zone. That's probably because they're not running effectively inside the 20, and maybe Keenum's turning the ball over too much. But I do think you're right. This is going to be a big Gurley game. They're going to just pound that Denver team, and we'll see how where it goes.
Yeah, the next game is the Chicago Bears, Weg's power rated number 2 in the league. At Miami as 3-point favorites. What do you got here, Wegs?
Well, you know I like the Bears in general, not just because I'm a fan. I think this defense is completely legit. We've talked about the injuries with Miami. I actually think the Bears are going to win this game pretty easily. Listening to Vison on the way over and our discussion we'll talk about in the head-to-head, everybody's on Miami in this one. I can't really see it, so maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, it's easy. The Bears should not be favored on the road against anyone.
Okay.
But one thing I did want to point out, we'll talk about this later. One thing I want to point out was the total in this game, hovering around the key number of 42, actually 42.5 right now.
Mm.
And I'm looking at under in this game. The Bears have the top scoring defense, 16 points allowed per game. And then when you combine that with Miami's lowest rated offensive scoring output, 19 points per game, it's looking like to me this game's going under.
Yeah, I think this is an under for sure. So I agree with that one for sure. The next game we've got highlighted is Carolina at Washington. This is an interesting spot. When I initially looked at it, Carolina before the Monday night game, They were 1.5 point underdogs, and right now they're sitting at 1 point underdogs. The total is 45. The Redskins, you know, this is basically, it may move the other way because everybody saw Washington play and they didn't play very well. But oftentimes that's kind of a trick, right? It's an illusion, you know, that recency bias sets in. You've noted that Carolina, you know, net yards per play is not that great. So how do you see this one?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't really have an opinion on this one as of yet, but it does appear to be a classic buy low situation. Although when you combine that with the Washington Redskins just coming off the Monday night game, it's a short week. Mm-hmm. It may be something that I'll probably stay away from. Adrian Peterson also picked up a little knock last night, and he may be banged up on Sunday.
Yeah, he said he separated his shoulder and just popped it back in. He said, I'll be ready for Sunday.
Chris Thompson got clocked, too, on a ball by Alex Smith late in the game. So I'm probably staying away from this one.
All right, probably smart. Probably smart. All right, I've also noted that Seattle is playing Oakland. Now, this is actually going to be in London. Seattle is laying 3 points here. Again, we were talking about all these scores in there. Metrically, I like Seattle in this game, but I don't know how to factor it in with this London thing. Mm-hmm. I heard that, you know, one team's getting over there earlier than the other. Could be raining. They're playing at Wembley. The field's crap. Do you have any nuggets that can help me for this?
Well, I definitely lean Seattle, as do you. Oakland looked horrible on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that they might give the Chargers a little bit of a game, but it was clear to me that they had no interest in showing up in that game. And year after year for these London games, I think that there is always something that you can learn by reading into the team reports leading up to the game weekend. As you mentioned, the travel schedules could be vastly different, so definitely keep an eye on that. And typically, before these London games kick off, it's very easy to tell if one team is going to London to win a football game and if one team is going to London just to show up. So I'm expecting that Oakland will be the ones that just go to show up this year, but I'm definitely going to be reading on it and likely playing on Seattle on Sunday.
Good to know. One thing I do like about Seattle right now is they seem to be focusing more on the run, which saves Russell Wilson a little bit. Mm-hmm. And also it just limits, you know, the basically shortens the game. It really makes it a more physical game. And Oakland, to me, they've been chucking the ball over the place, but they can get pounded on the ground if it works out.
Yeah, Davis and Carson both looked like they were fighting for jobs on Sunday, which would be real important if both of them could continue to run like that.
Absolutely. Another game we've talked about already a little bit is the LA Chargers are going to Cleveland. I think it opened where the Chargers were favored, and now it's down to a pick 'em. The total is 44. Anytime you look at these West Coast teams traveling east, it's always trouble. Plus, Cleveland's defense is legit. You've listed here Cleveland has a +8 a turnover differential, which is huge. I mean, that's huge in making up, especially for this young team.
Yeah, I was eyeballing a little bit of reverse line movement this morning on this game. As you mentioned, the Chargers opened up as 1.5 point favorites, and despite receiving more than 60% of the bets, the line is actually moving in the opposite direction and down to a pick 'em at some books. You can still find Cleveland +1 as of now, and it's clear to me that the Browns are going to be the right side on Sunday, or at least the pro side.
Yeah, exactly. The Sharps definitely like the Browns, and I think they're 4-1 this year covering the number. So
that's right.
Just a little tidbit.
And actually, some bettors would have won in that Oakland game on Sunday, two Sundays ago, if they had taken the +3 or pushed at least.
Interesting. All right. One of the big games of the weekend is Kansas City at New England. New England is favored by 3.5. The total is 59. You know, this is going to be a great football game. We want to find out if Kansas City and Mahomes can pass it at another test. What do you think about that total?
Crazy. It's a crazy total. Obviously, it's Mahomes. You got Tom Brady on Sunday night, but 59 in the NFL is way too high. Kansas City showed up and played some defense on Sunday, finally. New England's defense has been improving slightly, and they always tend to play better at home. So I'm probably going to be playing a contrarian under. I'm going to wait for it to reach its peak, though, hoping to get 60.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I know that both these teams are offensive powers, but you got to figure one of the things that New England's going to try to do in this game is actually shorten the game, make Kansas City play their game instead of try to run with Kansas City. I mean, Sony Michel has been running the ball effectively.
Yep.
Kansas City's been turning over their opponents, but not necessarily stopping them. We'll see how it works, but I like that underplay.
And if anybody is going to come up with a game plan to stymie Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be Bill Belichick.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. All right, last game to highlight here is Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta's 3.5-point favorites. Their total is 57.5. So what say you on this one, Action?
Blindly taking the over. These two teams give up 34.8 points per game, the Tampa Bay Bucks, and Atlanta gives up 32.6. If you do that simple math, that's 67 plus points, which is 10 more than 57.
That's right. Good math. I was told there would be no math. But no, you're right. I mean, they're playing in the dome. Atlanta always has shootouts in that place now, especially with that bad defense. Jameis Winston's coming back. You know, yep. He's going to tuck and chuck, so it should be a fun one to watch, and I think that over is definite.
Yeah, Tampa still has no run game, and then when you combine that, in all seriousness, the Atlanta defense has a ton of injuries still. They're not getting healthier, and they're going to continue to give up lots of yards.
Absolutely. In the Survivor segment, we like Green Bay over San Francisco. They're currently 9.5, sometimes 10-point favorites. They have to win. The Pack have to win this game, so I like that one. Do you like any other ones?
Yeah, I was looking at Minnesota laying 10 points at home to Arizona. For mm-hmm. those of you who are lucky enough not to take them against the Bills, you're still alive and you have another chance.
That's right. If there's a buyback, that's another one. Minnesota's not going to blow it again to another subpar opponent. All right, well, let's do the head-to-head segment now. We've talked about a bunch of games. The first one we're going to go to is Washington, one of my hopeful Final Fours. They're still sort of in it. They're 3.5-point favorites on the road at Oregon. Total's 58. What do you got? Action.
Well, I'm going to be taking the Oregon Ducks against Washington. This is a huge game for them in that Pac-12 North Division. Mm-hmm. And I think that this line would be quite a bit different had they held on to cover that game against the Stanford Cardinal. And in my opinion, I think this is a little bit of a too large of a spread for the Ducks at home. And Washington has been unimpressive on the offensive side of the ball. I think Oregon's going to keep this within the number, potentially even win the game outright.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Steve. The sharps agree with you, and all the sharps I was listening to on VSiN would pick Oregon straight up in a money line bet. I don't know. Washington's a good football team. I think they're better than Oregon. We'll see if this is for real. It's kind of like that first game of the year against Auburn where they should have won, but they didn't. I'll stick with Washington. Hopefully my hot streak in college continues. The next game is Georgia. Georgia is also a road favorite at LSU. We've got the line at 7.5. Total being 50.5. LSU is one of my darlings all year, but I'm going against them 2 weeks in a row. I think Georgia has too much offense for this team. I would like this number to be under 7. So if I was, hopefully I'm going to keep line shopping, hopefully get under it. But in our pick'em, I'll take the 7.5 with Georgia.
Yeah, I think it should be worth noting that even this morning there was a 7 that I noticed across the board. So you definitely could get that if you're looking at the Georgia angle. However, we're going to grade it at 7.5. Mm-hmm. And to me, the total in this game is all you have to look at to tell you where the right side is. 50 points is a semi-low total for college football. Mm-hmm. And LSU Tigers being the home team, getting 7.5 points, that's the side I'm going to be looking for. Joe Burrow's actually, as much as I malign him on this podcast, looked pretty good last weekend against Florida, and he had some pinpoint passes, especially in the fourth quarter, that were just flat out dropped by his receivers. So if he continues to play like that, I think they can hang with Georgia.
Yeah, I think they can too. So it should be another great game in the SEC, no surprise. Let's move to the NFL. We've talked about the Bears. It looks like instead of being America's underdog, I'm America's road favorite. Chicago, the Bears are 3 points favorite at the Miami Dolphins. The total at 42, which we talked about, is probably too high. I've already told you I love the Bears, not in general, but I think in this game as well. It will be a hard-fought game, but I think they can cover that 3 points. What do you think?
Yeah, I disagree. My handicap on this one is simple, just that Chicago Bears, such a young team, should not be laying points on the road against anyone in the league, nearly anyone in the league. And Miami has been playing well, save for last weekend, the second half collapse against Cincinnati and the New England game. But this Dolphins team can run the ball, and I think that they should be able to keep Chicago's pass rush a little bit on edge by throwing in some fakes and the pop passes like we talked about the week before. I'll take the Dolphins +3.
All right. We'll see. I do think the Dolphins' injuries are going to factor into that game.
Yeah, certainly Laremy Tunsil is going to be big. If he comes back and plays this Sunday, it could change the handicap quite a bit.
Absolutely. Our last game is actually the Thursday night special. It's Philadelphia is going to the Giants. They're actually laying 3 points on the road. Again, I'm America's road favorite this week. and the total is 44. This is a game where obviously the champs are, you know, they're coming off the loss at home. They kind of have to win at the Giants. I'm taking the Eagles, even though I don't feel great about it. We want to pick a Thursday night special. Mm-hmm. All I know is the Giants last year kind of lit up this Eagles defense. They passed the ball quite a bit. I mean, Eli stinks, but he threw for like 800 yards last year in the two matchups. So is that why you like the Giants?
Yeah, I've just been watching the Eagles week after week under impress, and I think that the Giants looked quite good on Sunday. I think that they've got some offensive game plan here that's going to click a little bit. And as long as they can keep that Philadelphia Eagles line at bay and give Eli some protection, I think that they can easily win this game and definitely cover the three.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are very susceptible to the long ball, and it looks to me when they unleashed the offense this week, if they can do that again, they probably will score quite a bit, but should be a good game on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's transition to baseball and talk about it. I'm glad I didn't put any money down on the Cubs, by the way.
Good call.
They got beat right after the podcast in extra innings. But the Brewers, man, they keep rolling. I didn't put any money on them. I should have, because they look great. They're already in the NLCS.
Yeah, the Brewers look good, and who needs starting pitching when you have a bullpen like that? And they just roll them out every week, and those guys are mowing down hitters.
That's awesome. So their series with the Dodgers begins on Friday. It looks like you've got the Dodgers at -145 and the Brewers are +125. Mm-hmm. So I still have a chance to win some money. Maybe I'll do that bet this week.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to be staying away from the NL series. As we mentioned last week, I did put some money down on the Houston Astros to win the AL and the World Series. So I'm going to ride that one out.
Attaboy. Well, Astros already swept out the Indians, so you're almost there. The World Series odds now, you've got Houston at they're +200, Boston at +300. They lead the Yankees right now 2-1 in the series. Mm-hmm. Dodgers +300, and there's my Brewers +375. Yankees still in there at +1200.
Yeah, there's actually some sharp money on the Yankees tonight against Boston. So if they can pull that one out, it'll be a great Game 5 on Thursday.
Yeah, I like when they go to Game 5, those winner-take-alls, especially the Boston, you know, the Boston, New York, those guys. They all hate each other, which is great.
That would be great.
All right, let's transition. Finally, we've got the NBA coming up. We're both not huge NBA guys. We like the playoffs, I think, each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Their season begins next Tuesday, a week from tonight. And we're looking at some NBA futures. Now, I'm going to put a little precursor with the NBA. Look, I love watching basketball. I coach basketball, as we talked about in action. But the tough thing about the NBA is now it's this super league with their super teams, and it's really hard to get angles because you've got a juggernaut in the Warriors who've won, what, 3 out of the last 4. And obviously they're -200. You know, without Cleveland being in the East, it's kind of like the Warriors and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you got for the odds on that?
Well, you said it right. It is the Warriors and everyone else. They're -200 favorites to win the title, which is crazy to lay a price like that at the beginning of the season. We've talked about this in weeks past. I typically don't like to bet season-long futures just because it ties up your money for so long. And the NBA especially, talking super about long, being tied up till the end of June next year.
Right.
So not something I'll be looking to bet, but it's fun to talk about. You can actually get the field to win the title against Golden State at plus money, +150, which is something I thought was interesting.
It may be worth it. I mean, maybe our duffel bag guy is out there putting those bets on there, but I do. When I look at this list, you've got the Celtics at +600. You got the Rockets at +900. The Lakers inexplicably at +1200. Obviously, LeBron factor. The 76ers at +1200. And I'll include the Raptors at +2200 and maybe the Thunder at +4000. I like the Rockets in this spot. You know, the Rockets, the only team that almost beat the Warriors, you know what I mean, in the last 2 years with Durant. So I would look at +900 with them. Of course, the Celtics are the favorite in the East, so that's why they're the +600. They got to show me something. I mean, they obviously had the injuries last year. Kyrie's always injured. And obviously, you got to see how Gordon Hayward comes back. Who do you like out of this group?
Well, again, I'm not going to be betting on it, but the one number that jumped out at me was the Milwaukee Bucks at 75-1.
Okay.
I'll be looking at the East. The Boston Celtics are obviously heavy favorites to come out of the East, but if somehow Milwaukee can sneak out of there and make it to the finals, when you have one of the world's best players in Giannis Antetokounmpo, he can win any game outright, and I think that he could carry a team to a championship, possibly. 75-1 is a good value there.
It's great value, great value. So what I would say, too, is like you said, if you're attacking the East, they don't have as strong a team, so he could do that. He probably won't do that in the West, but he can do it in the East. Mm-hmm. You also have some futures on the league MVP. You got LeBron James at plus 350, Anthony Davis at plus 400, your guy Antetokounmpo with plus 400, Harden at plus 650, Kawhi Leonard at plus 900, and Kevin Durant at plus 1,000. You got Westbrook, too, at plus 1,200. Are there any guys besides Antetokounmpo you like on there?
No, nothing I'll be betting. LeBron James is obviously favorite for good reason, and he'll probably be even more of a one-man show on the Lakers this year.
Right. I agree. I think that is easy money on that one. All right. Well, that's essentially what we've got for this show. We are taking a week hiatus. I know you fans are, what are you going to do with outside action next week? But where are you going?
I'm going to go scout some talent in the good old city of Seoul, South Korea.
Nice.
Maybe catch a Korean baseball game or even a K-League game, perhaps.
Okay.
Get down some money on some Korean side action.
Oh, I like that. You're visiting a buddy out there. You're there for a couple weeks or 10 days or something?
Yeah, 10-day trip out to Korea. We may do some surfing and enjoy the outdoors a little bit, check out some old imperial palaces.
That's awesome.
May venture to the DMZ.
I don't know.
I don't know if there'll be time.
Yeah, watch out. Watch out for those landmines, buddy. But that's awesome. That's a great trip. We'll resume our taping in 2 weeks, I guess. And, you know, we'll be back at it. We'll recap some football again and see where we're at with some of the other sports. So
yeah, hopefully we'll be able to touch on some World Series action next time we get together.
Absolutely. That'll be the World Series. So that'll be all for this edition of the Side Action Podcast, Episode 8. You can follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. You can follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter.
And you can follow me, Steve Roberts, at 31SRoberts on Twitter.
Thanks for all your ratings and follows, and keep up the good vibes. We need them over here to grow a following.
Yeah, we really do appreciate everyone that listens to us. We love doing this podcast and talking about sports gambling with you all, and really appreciate all the questions that keep rolling in, and the ratings and the subscriptions as well. We really like to keep this thing growing and increase the listenership.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'll definitely send some tweets out when you're out in Korea, especially some hot picks. We still need them when you're gone.
Yeah, I'll do my best, although it's a 14-hour difference, so I'll be sleeping through most of the games.
All right, well, that'll do it.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.